Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Hey, good morning to you. It is a Wednesday morning, the 30th day of April, and I'm happy that you're here with us on the Mark Cox Morning Show. That would be me. I'm Mark. That's Kim St. Ange. We've got, of course, Ethan Bryden here in the studio with us this morning. Matthew Rocchio joining us as well today. And, of course, Sue Thomas will be along soon. Got a little bit of rain on the way down here this morning, and I think there's more due to hit us in the next couple of hours. So how that affects the morning commute, we will see. Kim, I noticed we were in our boss's office yesterday after the show, just chatting, and he lives down south, and he said that he was in here one day, and I mean, I think maybe it was Friday, and there was really nobody around late afternoon, so around 4 o'clock he decided to leave, and it took him 1 hour to get to his house in South County because of the construction on 55. And it's getting worse. Is this correct?
I saw something yesterday about how they're planning to do even more construction. Now, I think this might be on an overpass along I-55, but certainly that would potentially impact traffic on I-55 because those people will have to be rerouted.
Yeah.
It sounds like, I'm so glad that I don't take that route home because it sounds like it's been a disaster for a very long time.
I just got to say, I mean, it's the never-ending road project. I think maybe what we need to do is try to get somebody, maybe the regional engineer for MoDOT on here and just ask. So somebody should be able to answer that question. Why has I-55 been screwed up for so long? It seems like it's been 2 years now.
The Titanic lady.
What would you say, Ethan? Let's get you on here. You drive it every day.
They did have that mishap with the bridge.
What was the mishap?
That was down. They started construction on it, and they screwed it up somehow, allegedly. And then they had to restart it. Oh. So that like took another part. I drive through there every day, and it is getting better going southbound. They have stopped everything down by, say, Lindbergh area. That part's been cleared out, but then they just keep moving it back. And then northbound, that's a disaster from where that bridge happened almost all the way up to, let's say, AB.
So can I ask the question that's on everybody's mind that nobody seems to have said out loud yet? Has the person who screwed the bridge up been fired?
That I don't know. There was something wrong with that bridge. I will say that. I remember that happening. That was like a year or two ago.
Well, yeah, right. It's just, I thought I'd mention that because you poor folks that have to drive that every day, I feel for you.
It's not bad at 3 a.m.
Well, yeah. Well, right. Mine's not either at 3 or 4 a.m, but wow. Anytime after daylight, morning or afternoon drive, and I hear Sue Thomas on here all the time saying, we've got to slow down at 55 and Loughborough or whatever it is every single day. She's bringing that up. So my condolences if you're still making that drive. We'll see about getting somebody from MoDOT on the show here tomorrow or Friday who just might be able to bring us up to date on it. I'm not trying to grill anybody, but my guess is that there are a lot of pissed off people out there every day stuck in traffic. So what the conversation was that our boss decided he would outsmart everybody and get off down there and cut over and try to go down by the river and drive down that way. I don't know if that's Broadway that continues down through there. I'm trying to think of what that road would be.
Yeah, I think it's Broadway.
And he goes, of course, you hit traffic lights every two blocks. So I don't know how much faster it was to go that way. And, of course, every time you think you're the smartest bear in the woods, you find out that 50,000 other people also decided they would go that way. So
yep.
There's just no easy way around it. And that's the nature of summer, I guess, in St. Louis. And, of course, in the Metro East, they're dealing with it now, too. I hear Wiggins and Brad complaining about the traffic in the morning trying to get across the bridge. Hey, we got a good show for you today. Lots of going on, of course. A wrap-up of the president's 100th day. He had a gangbuster rally in Michigan yesterday. Now, if you saw it or not, he probably ended the political career of Gretchen Whitmer in one fell swoop, may have gotten Scott Jennings fired from CNN, eviscerated some dude named Terry Moran, who works at ABC News, in the Oval Office. I don't know if it was before or after Michigan. I assume that was recorded before he left for Michigan. He was on fire yesterday. The Democrats are just wandering around the Capitol grounds looking for reporters to tell how bad things are. And everybody else must be looking at them thinking, they're insane. What do you mean this is the worst 100 days any president ever had? When I heard Hakeem Jeffries say that those words yesterday come out of his mouth, I'm like, what world are you living in? It may have been the worst 100 days for you, because the president has been running circles around you. And then Hakeem Jeffries questions Trump's mental capacity. I don't know. I hope and pray, and I'll say it on my radio show right now, that when I'm 78 years old, I'm still up at 2:30 in the morning texting people. Do you understand that? You may get a text from a crazy aunt at 2 in the morning. I'm not saying that doesn't happen. Donald Trump is texting the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee at 2:30 in the morning. Jason Smith told me that when we had him on the air yesterday. To question his mental awareness or abilities, right? Nobody takes that seriously. You kind of feel sad for them in a way. They don't know what to do. And now they're floating. Yesterday, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez potentially is president. Did you see that? She put some Instagram post up that everybody said looked like a precursor to a presidential bid.
Well, that wouldn't be a surprise, though. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked at all. I've always thought AOC would be running either 2028 or the following
election. She
might.
She might, but here's what will happen. Yes, she's attractive, but the lights are on and nobody's home beyond that. Now, she's smarter than
she is smart.
Kamala Harris, I think. She's backed away from the squad very clearly, intentionally backed away from the squad, but she'll get the same 2% Kamala Harris did in the primary. She's hoping by teaming up with Bernie Sanders that some of those crazies will attach their train to her, but I still don't see it.
She'd pull higher than Kamala. I feel convinced about that, but maybe not much. But she is smarter than Kamala. Kamala didn't have really any of her own ideas.
Everybody, they
AOC
ask,
would, I think.
They ask everybody yesterday they could get a camera in front of what they thought about AOC potentially running for president. We're going to get to some of that sound. It's gold. So I'm going to play some of that for you this morning. Right now, Ethan, let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Would she destroy America? Absolutely. There's no chance she'll ever be president. I don't agree with anything she says, but I love her social media. She's a crazy chicken. She raises five.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Five and 20 bucks at a time.
That's Kevin O'Leary yesterday on AOC. He goes, oh, I love her social media. I buy her T-shirts that say tax the rich, and I give them away to my friends.
What's the problem over there? What's the problem? Is that a radical left lunatic? He's just a child. All right, get him out. Yeah. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, ma'am. I thought it was a guy.
I love campaign Trump. Can I just tell you that? He was back yesterday. We haven't seen him in that mode in a while, for a few months. But on the 100th day, he brought back campaign Trump and was eviscerating this protester by misgendering him in the audience.
China probably will eat those tariffs, but at 145, they basically can't do much business with the United States.
Yeah, once on a serious note, of course, the president doing interviews on this whole tariff issue, Terry Moran didn't know what to do with him yesterday and didn't like being called out for his fake news either.
We're taking back our country from a sick political class. They got rich selling America out and bleeding America dry. We don't let that happen anymore.
I love that. Did you see any of that Michigan press conference?
Just clips.
So if you watched it, and I didn't watch the whole thing. I watched a few minutes at various points of it. It was brilliant. If you watched that rally. In what you can call Michigan a swing state, Michigan's been largely a blue state for a while. They've elected a couple of crazy Democrats as governors, Democrat congresspeople, Democrat senators. Let's put it that way. Donald Trump, if you watch that rally yesterday and you still give any credence to these fake polls that the media is running about people's concerns over the future of this country, you're warped. You are warped. When he's got blue-collar auto workers, union auto workers coming out and filling up a huge area. Where was he? He was like at a stadium, I think. When you've got that kind of crowd coming out for an incumbent president, the politics have changed in America. People are starting to realize it's not the Democratic Party that has the best interest of the working class in mind. And it's going to get that's all going to get cemented when this reconciliation bill passes. A little later, we're going to talk to Congressman Mike Bost from Illinois. He's going to call us from the 12th District over there to give us his take on what's going on with that bill. We were told yesterday, probably by the July 4th weekend, they'll have this thing perfected and they'll get it passed. And it's going to be great. Would I love to see more cuts? Absolutely. Am I happy they're doing something and they seem to be on the same page? Yes, absolutely, I am. All right, Ethan, I've run over here just a little bit. Let's get to our national anthem.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light was so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the rain. We're so gallantly streaming, and the rock is regular among birds singing a cape through the night that I play.
Today's Democratic Party looks like the game room in a mental hospital.
John Kennedy with a couple of just buttes yesterday. Can I just tell you that? He was talking to Hannity last night. I was sitting there doing some show prep last night watching this interview, and I thought to myself, I've got to get a couple of those clips in the morning because John Kennedy was, he was on fire.
I don't mean to be unkind. But, you know, I would rather watch reruns of The View for the rest of eternity than to listen to some of my Democratic colleagues.
Who writes his stuff? There's just no way he comes up with that.
I don't know. All on his own. I don't know. The mental hospital, the cafeteria, the mental hospital. I mean, he just went on and on yesterday. You didn't have to go far. And I don't even, I mean, I've got the bites here, but I even hate to play them. It's so, you know, Chuck Schumer's, they want to talk about polling for Trump. If you believe the polling, Chuck Schumer's approval rating is at like 18%. He's the leader of the Democratic Party right now, isn't he? I mean, it's him or AOC, one of the two.
No one really knows.
Hakeem Jeffries would like to, but his speech pattern is so awkward that I can't listen to him. And I don't believe anything that comes out of his mouth anyway, mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter. But it's just there's no credibility to most of these criticisms. What are they mad at? They're mad that, well, he had a tariff policy, but he backed off of it. Okay, that's what you're mad about? He had a tariff policy, but he backed off. They have no idea how to negotiate. And Donald Trump is schooling them in real time on how you negotiate with these foreign countries. Bessent teased yesterday that he's just struck a deal, but he can't announce it yet until the president and the parliament sign off on it in whatever country it is. Speculation is it may be India. The markets went up just on him saying that. If it gets announced today or tomorrow or this week, that we have a trade deal with India, the other cards are going to fall into place in a hurry. The stock, if you've got some money to buy this money in the stock market, now would be the time to do it because it's going to explode when those deals are reached. Deals that wouldn't have happened, mind you, had Donald Trump not started negotiations over tariffs. And the Democrats are oblivious to all of that. I'd love to hear what they say after the stock market jumps another 5,000 points. We're going to be back with Kim on a Whim right after this.
Kim on a Whim.
Well, if you're a commercial truck driver, you better be able to speak proficient English. That is an executive order that Donald Trump just signed on Monday. And, you know, I noticed a lot of people talking on our social media yesterday about this, which is why I wanted to bring it up today. I think a lot of people have opinions about this. Should this be a requirement? I understand why it's necessary. You know, they're talking about how, well, first of all, remember Trump designated English as the country's official language. That was back in March. But think about all the things that these commercial truck drivers would potentially come across during a typical shift, however long that is. I know sometimes those are pretty long, where they would need to make sure that they can speak English and speak it well. They would have to be able to read and understand traffic signs. Let's say that they come across law enforcement, border patrol, checkpoints, things like that, those weight limit stations that you see when you're driving on the interstate. When they're talking to other truck drivers, I mean, that's very common. They're going back and forth. There's issues on the road. They're dealing with their employers. I mean, there's a number of reasons why they would need to be able to speak English well, not just broken English.
Well, it was already the law. I mean, that's the point. It was just never enforced. So you'll hear people today claiming that this is not fair and you're going to be depriving people of jobs. But this was already a federal law that that was never enforced. So all the EO says is, from this point forward, we're going to enforce this.
Mm-hmm. Funny you say that, because the decision was celebrated by, it says, Owner-Operated Independent Drivers Association. And 150,000 truckers, I guess, that are represented with that have also come out in support of this, saying, yeah, we see the necessity for this. You brought up how this was already technically in place. It just hasn't been enforced. I was going down a rabbit hole with this yesterday, and there was a guy, never heard of him, but he was on YouTube, claims he's this globally recognized oil and gas expert. And that was the exact point that he was making, Mark.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing about it is it looks to me like this was passed in 2014. I could be wrong about that, but I'm looking here. Driver qualifications concerning applicability of language requirements to drivers who do not meet the standard. It was put in the Federal Register October 1st of 2014. So this is an Obama-era law that was passed that's never been enforced.
Listen to what this guy was saying about it.
Okay.
You see, this regulation already exists. You're already supposed to speak English. They stopped enforcing it during the Shell Revolution because we needed truck drivers. And we couldn't find truck drivers. And lobbyists from the oil and gas industry went to Barack Obama and other people, I'm sure, in Congress and lobbied. And the decision was made to not enforce this rule.
That's the argument you're going to hear now, is that this is going to lead to a massive trucker shortage because you will have to have all these people quit their jobs if they can't speak proficient English.
Are you going to argue to me that, so I've heard this racist argument before, that illegal aliens who we bring in to do farm work are doing jobs that Americans won't do. I've got relatives who are truck drivers still to this day. For I don't think he's retired yet. A couple of them. And first cousins. They work their butts off every day. Some of them haul long distance. Others haul locally. That's a good job. It's a good paying job. Mm-hmm. It takes a commitment to be away from your family sometimes for a week at a time while you're driving. But those can be good, solid jobs. Why will Americans not take those jobs? It's not that difficult to get a CDL. Plus, how do you get a CDL if you don't speak the language? You have to have a commercial driver's license and pass a fairly rigorous training course where you learn the rules of the road, how to back the truck up. You have to prove you're proficient in backing up an 18-wheeler and keeping it in its lane and all of those things. So, making right turns and not ripping the fender off of a car or taking a light pole out. You have to do those things.
So many of these tests that you have to take now, I've seen where they're touting how, oh, we offer it in 18 different languages, right? So is that something, I wonder, where they've tried to be more quote-unquote inclusive and they've tried to, for that reason, offer it in more languages? And let's say that they find out that someone is only a Spanish speaker. Let's just say that.
Yes.
They would bring in a trainer who would be doing the CDL test with them to make sure that they can do all those things, who also speaks Spanish. So they wouldn't then ever require them. There would be no need during that whole process, the testing process, for them to speak proficient English.
Maybe you're right. I mean,
by the way, if you listen to us in the morning, I would love to know what that test is like, if they offer it in different languages for that reason.
Sure. Well, I know we have truck drivers who listen to this show, and I'm sure some of them would be anxious to comment on this. So if you have information on that, if you have a CDL and you want to call in and talk to us, 314-241-9797. I'll try to get your calls here either in this segment or the next segment. But this is maddening to me. So I couldn't have. There's also a public safety issue. Now, I understand you can type in the directions of where you want to go on a GPS, mm-hmm. and you could probably change the language settings so that it will tell you in your language where to go and what to do next.
That's why ladies pick the Australian accent guy.
Thank you. Well, yeah. Yeah, no kidding. I had the British lady for the longest time, too, on mine.
It's less irritating when they tell you what to do. Like, please turn right. You're like, all right, fine. You sound nice.
Exactly. So, but I was thinking back to, like, I've driven in Ireland. We rented a car and drove around Ireland. And that, of course, is not a problem. But had I gone to Germany or France or somewhere like that where I don't speak the language and had to traverse the highways and... You're not going to be able to understand the road mm-hmm. signs or anything.
Is this an issue in other countries, I wonder? Or if you went to those countries, you would exclusively see German-speaking drivers or French-speaking drivers?
I do think in the European Union, they can cross borders pretty easily and do that, just like you can if you're a tourist. But NAFTA was supposed to have an impact on this to where it would allow truck drivers from Mexico to cross the border and drive all the way across the United States to deliver their goods. And maybe that's when the change was made. I know NAFTA was revised under Trump, and I don't know why that wouldn't have been changed back if it was thought to be a safety hazard.
Mm-hmm. Well, it just sounds like what you heard the guy say is they were dealing with a trucker shortage. And during the Obama administration, it was like, well, this is an easy solution to that.
Yeah, I don't know. Ethan, you can check with Matthew on this. Somebody has called in here on line one, but I don't see an identifier or anything on there. So I don't know if that's a call regarding the subject or not. But yeah, I do think it's overdue. I had no idea there was an English language requirement for commercial drivers.
I didn't either. I do see that the Transportation Secretary, Sean Duffy, is going to be issuing new guidance on English proficiency testing and enforcement policies. And if they're caught not being able to speak proficient English as a commercial truck driver,
right,
that driver would be essentially out of service.
That is a truck driver. His name's Darren on line one.
All right, let's get to Darren here. Darren, good morning to you. What's on your mind?
Good morning. Hey, I've been a truck driver for 38, 39 years, something like that. And it's kind of funny that you bring this up, because me and my best friend were talking. We're both truck drivers yesterday about this. And he was telling me about a study that they did that when these tow truck drivers come out there to accident scene, about 75 to 80% of these drivers that are crashing anywhere between, you know, just a fender bender to just flat out, I mean, totaling a truck, you know, killing people, they can barely speak English.
Hmm. So that's where the safety hazard is, obviously, and the suggestion. But here's my question. You've had your CDL for a long time. I don't know what the current courses are like, but wouldn't you need to speak English to take a CDL class and pass it?
Or do they offer it in different languages?
Well, they're supposed to You know, you're supposed to take it in English, but I grandfathered in. I had a chauffeur's license back in the day, so you know, I had already been driving long enough when CDL came out that I grandfathered in. All I had to do is take the written. But you know, that's the problem. These courses, you know, they're pushing these guys through these driving courses in just a matter of just a few weeks to, you know, maybe a couple of months, and then all of a sudden they're turning them loose and 80,000 pound, you know, just death machines.
So you support this, I take it, what Trump did, the executive order.
1,000%, yeah. Absolutely, because I go from St. Louis to Nashville, Tennessee, and back every single day.
Wow.
And just the stupidity that I see out here, these drivers. It used to be, you know, what we call four-wheelers is, you know, just people in cars.
Yeah.
What were the problem? Now it's about 50-50 with, you know, truck drivers. They'll pull over on the shoulder for some odd reason, and when they go to take off, you know, if they even use the turn signal, they will just pull off the shoulder from a dead stop. You know, these trucks don't take off like a car does, and that's the mentality they have. It's like, well, this is what I do in a car, so I'm going to do this in a truck too.
Well, I appreciate you calling in, and thanks for the great information on that, Darren. Thank you.
You bet. Thanks.
Yeah, take care. I appreciate that. We got several more callers on the line here. I'm going to get to a quick break here, Ethan, and we'll be back. I'll get to your calls. Hang on here. I'd like to hear from some more of these truck drivers on this new regulation signed yesterday in an executive order by Donald Trump. We'll be right back. You know, I grew up on the CB radio scene with my dad and my uncles and all that stuff. We used to drive down the highway and talk to other people,
yep.
Talk to the truckers, all that stuff. Yeah. And what I've noticed through the years as a driver now is I've noticed a marked decrease in professionalism from some of these truck drivers. Maybe they've always noticed that from four-wheelers, but I tow a trailer now. When I go camping, whenever I am going to move over in front of a tractor trailer after I pass it, I always turn my turn signal on and wait for them to flash their lights to indicate that I'm far enough ahead of them that it's safe to get over. And I've noticed that most of them don't do that anymore. And I don't know why. I don't know if it's a lack of training or they've just gotten out of the habit of it or what. And it may be completely unrelated to the subject here of training. But that's one thing I've noticed less of these days. Let me get to Alan, who's holding here on line two. Alan, good morning.
Oh, good morning. Thanks for it's great to talk to you guys.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, there are so this. Yeah, you could go on for. There's so many points to make on this. I've been driving 35 years. I'm in Illinois on the Illinois side right now, going to Kansas City. So I've got about a 11 and a half hour day ahead of me here. The one thing I've always, when I get into conversations, the first thing I bring up is, you know, you have commercial airline pilots, professional pilots who, you know, worldwide to ensure safety, the universal language is English. So everybody's on the same page and they know what's going on as they fly into any airport. Well, I have a commercial driver's license for a semi-truck, and I'm considered a quote-unquote professional driver.
Yes.
But, yeah, you have so many people out there that they are not proficient. Boil it down to the street terms of talk to some folks who clerk at truck stops and how many times they've had encounters. And I know this is oversimplifying things, but where they have a truck driver who will get angry with the clerks because they can't speak English at all, and they're mad at the clerk because the clerk doesn't understand them, and like they're demanding them to speak their language instead of they learn English and do it correctly.
Yes.
You have a problem with to switch gears, so to speak, with these brokerage outfits that assign freight loads who, you know, however these folks get into the country, green cards or whatever, they get pushed through a two-week. Some of these schools that popped up, especially during COVID, they're pushing drivers through in 2 weeks.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
For 30-plus years, I hauled mail around the St. Louis area, and the company I worked for, I would actually road test drivers, which I hated because some of these guys were so new that they didn't even give instruction on how to properly hook the trailer up to a tractor.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah, so Ryan, there was one fella and I was like 10 minutes into the test drive, I was like, no, pull over.
This is done.
Alan, be safe today, my friend. Thank you for the call.
Thank you. Now.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Jim, let me get to Jim. Jim, I got about a minute left here. What's on your mind?
Hey.
Yeah, go ahead, sir. Got about a minute left.
Yeah, everything that he said is true, but Biden started his first term, the Hidden Talents Initiative, which opened the floodgates to all these foreigners to come over here, and they don't even have to have a CDL. I had two highway patrols in Missouri and Kansas tell me that they have a no-name, non-domicile CDL, which they don't even have a name on it. And they're out here driving trucks, and they can barely drive a four-wheeler in their country of origin because it's a rarity. But they're over here killing people all the time in America.
That is, wow. That is frightening. Jim, be safe out there, my friend. Thank you for the call. Hit a nerve here. Obviously, yeah. It's good the president did this. We're going to be back with much more right after the top of the hour. Stay tuned.